Well, it is now time for our featured segment. It is called Mic Check. And ladies and gentlemen, it is African History Month. It is Black History Month. And we're staying focused. We're celebrating Jamaica's first national hero, the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey. His global impact and his influence as a Black nationalist leader. Why is Garvey so important? Why was Garvey so impactful? And why was Garvey, and how did Garvey become so influential? Our special guest this morning, Anthony, is Professor Stephen Golden, and he's ready to go. Please introduce our guest, Anthony.
Our special guest on Mic Check this morning, his name is Stephen Golden, and he's president of the Universal Negro Improvement Association, UNIA, and African Communities League in Jamaica, a professor of Garveyism. Golden chairs the Garvey Studies Department at Heidel University in St. Catherine, and he lectures on the philosophy of Marcus Garvey at the primary, secondary, and tertiary levels. And Mr. Golden, of course, has appeared here on Groovin' Radio before. He's the son of Jamaica's 8th Prime Minister, the Honorable Bruce Golden, and the grandson of Jamaica's first Speaker of the House of Representatives post-independence, Tassius Golden. So we welcome Steve Golden to Groovin' Radio this Saturday morning.
Good morning, Professor. How are you this Saturday morning?
Morning, Ras Clem. Anthony, I can tell you're not a St. Catherine man. That Tassius Golden.
Yeah, I'm not. I am a Westmoreland.
Wow. So how is everything, Professor? How are you this morning?
All is well. Celebrating Black History Month, you know, down here in Jamaica, we have coined it as Reggae Month in 2008, but, you know, we're not watching our face because reggae is Black people music.
Indeed. Now, we're looking at Marcus Mosiah Garvey, the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey, Jamaica's first national hero. And some will say...
Clem, I'll put on my professor hat for you too. When you say national hero, the proper title is the right excellent.
Indeed.
Marcus Garvey.
Yes, sir.
Yes, for Jamaicans. I know in America we always give him honorable. Honorable was that title given to him by the UNIA from as far back as 1920, mm-hmm. when he was elected the president general.
Indeed.
But from 1964 to Jamaicans, he is the right excellent. It is the highest honor and order of the land down here.
Indeed, sir. Thank you for that correction. So as we look at the influence of Marcus Mosiah Garvey, the global influence and impact. Let's start with the impact, Professor Golden. How impactful was Garvey?
Extremely impactful. I mean, Garvey, under the banner of the UNIA, organized over 1,000 divisions around the globe, stretching as far as to the continent of Australia. You know, over 700 divisions in the United States. The country with the most divisions per population was actually Cuba. But, you know, his influence stretched from North America to Central, into South America, across the Atlantic, into Europe. Garvey even presented a petition before the League of Nations in 1928. Mm-hmm. So we have to understand that, you know, not only was he perhaps one of the greatest philosophers of the 20th century, but he was one of the first Black icons of the 20th century. In fact, the King of Swaziland, which is a small country next door to South Africa, mm-hmm. when he was interviewed in the mid-1900s there, said that he didn't even know that there were Black people in the Americas, except for Jack Johnson mm-hmm. and Marcus Garvey. Those were the only two names he had heard. And for those of you who know, Jack Johnson was the first Black heavyweight champion of the world. So mm-hmm. it is just amazing that this man from St. Anne, from this little island here, mm-hmm. Could have reached such an iconic status while he lived too. You know, this is not something that happened posthumously. Mm-hmm. In fact, after Garvey died, they worked very hard to bury the memory of him. And if it wasn't for the Black Power era, mm-hmm. They might have succeeded. But certainly while Garvey was alive, he was known on all continents.
You mentioned they tried to bury the memory of Garvey. And we're going to come back to that. And Anthony, just remind me, because I want to know who they are and why. So I just want to stay with the global impact and influence, the importance of Marcus Garvey to us as black people. And why, in this, especially in this Black History Month, and I say this almost every year, how is it some of us don't find it important, Professor Golden, to talk about the work of Marcus Garvey? Why?
You know, it's so interesting. And before I answer the day, because Garvey was a journalist and a remarkable journalist for
Indeed.
His generation.
Indeed.
Anywhere he was domiciled, he published a newspaper. And his newspapers were dedicated solely to the interests and advancement of his race. He had a paper when he lived in Central America, in Panama, La Prensa. He had another paper when he was in Nicaragua called La Nación. Of course, when he was in New York, he had several papers, including the Negro World and the Daily Negro Times. In fact, one of his editors at the Daily Negro Times was a man by the name of Dr. Carter G. Woodson, who was the second black man to graduate from Harvard University with a PhD, and he had a PhD in history. And it was, in fact, Dr. Carter G. Woodson who in 1926 conceptualized what was originally Negro History Week, which was to be celebrated in the third week of February. It is that Negro History Week that in the 70s, I think, at Kent University or Kent State University, evolved into what we now know as Black History Month, which is recognized globally. So a lot of people don't know that connection between Marcus Garvey and Black History Month and the fact that he had a great influence on the man who conceptualized Black History Month, the man who is considered the father of Black history, who incidentally is the only son of enslaved Africans, right, to earn a PhD in the United States of America. The only one. Dr. Carter G. Woodson's parents were enslaved up until the United States civil rights move, not civil rights, civil war, and the Emancipation Proclamation by President Lincoln. So I say that to show you that not only Garvey had a great influence around the world, but the circle of people around him were highly accomplished and influential people. I know a lot of times we speak about Garvey's movement as a grassroots movement, but it was a movement in totality, from black intellectuals to black civil servants, to the layman, to the farmer. Garvey touched everybody through the genius of his oratory and his journalistic talents. So this is what made him the great iconic person he became.
Now, did I tell you folks that you're in Professor Stephen Golden class on Garvey this morning? Well, you are, because that piece of news on Carter G. Woodson. Anthony, I never realized that Carter G. Woodson was the first man to earn a PhD, a man coming from directly slave lineage. Huh? Direct slave lineage, that is very important. 1919 to 1926, Harlem, USA. Garvey settled in as a black nationalist. The movement started then. Garvey was on a move. But how is it, Professor Golden, that Jamaica did not or never embrace Garvey then? Why? And how come? Were we scared?
I wouldn't say Garvey wasn't embraced by Jamaica, but we have to remember that when Garvey founded the UNIA in Jamaica in 1914, we were still under that yoke of colonialism. And in fact, you know, not not many black people were enfranchised, meaning they didn't wield much power and authority in the country. In fact, black Jamaicans at that time, for the majority of them, could not even participate in elections. Mm-hmm. Back then, you had to be a property owner and you had to pay property tax. So there were very few black people in Jamaica at that time that wielded influence, even though amongst the few there were, Garvey had great support. Mm-hmm. People like Dr. Robert Love, a Bahamian, mm-hmm. Who was the first, one of the first medical doctors, I think the first black man to graduate from the University of Buffalo with a medical degree, and then went on to serve in Haiti at the same time that your own Frederick Douglass mm-hmm. was the U.S. ambassador there. The title wasn't an ambassador then. He was the U.S. consul in Haiti. Love came to Jamaica and became one of the first black men to win a seat in what we now call Parliament. Back mm-hmm. then it was the Legislative Council. And in fact, Love had a tremendous impact on Garvey. Love was also connected to a famous Trinidadian by the name of Henry Sylvester Williams, who was the first man to coin the term Pan-African mm-hmm. and called the first Pan-African conference in London in July of 1900. Following that conference, he tried to set up a Pan-African association with chapters around the world. Robert Love became the head of the branch here in Jamaica. And it was through organizations like this that the mind of a young Marcus Garvey was shaped and tuned towards Pan-Africanism, later, as he put it, black nationalism, mm-hmm. and set the foundation for the great man that he would become. So, you know, Garvey didn't live in a vacuum. He stood on the shoulder of other giants, but he became a giant in himself in the way he was able to passionately express and connect and move the people. In fact, the UNIA is still to date the largest mass movement of black people ever founded on the earth.
Indeed.
Can you believe that?
Indeed. Remembering the life and times of our global black nationalist leader, the Right Excellence Marcus Mosiah Garvey, Jamaica's first national hero, our guest is Professor Stephen Golden. Now, to the question, they who try to bury the memory of Garvey, can we talk about they, Stephen?
Well, let's go back to the fact that Garvey's newspapers were considered highly provocative and agitative by the colonial powers of the day. In fact, the British, French, Dutch, other governments that had colonies in the Caribbean and in Central America banned his newspapers right out. Mm. Can you imagine?
Mm.
So much so that Garvey had to build up a network of seamen, black people working on ships and traveling from country to country. Mm-hmm. And he used them to smuggle the newspaper into the black communities, because if they were found by the authorities, they were immediately confiscated.
Mm-hmm.
So you can see the kind of journalism and the effect that Garvey's writings were having on people, that these colonial authorities decided that no, we can't let this get out there.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, after Garvey's deportation to Jamaica, his mail was regularly intercepted by the British colonial officers. Monies were confiscated, letters were destroyed, and this was under the direct instruction of the minister of what you would call the Minister of Home Affairs, the colonial secretary at the time for the British government. And that man was a man by the name of Winston Churchill, who would later go on to become Prime Minister of the UK and is now celebrated as a great war hero. Well, he was one of those
mm-hmm.
who was a part of this fight against Garvey and his movement. And he is seconded only to a man who was the head of the Bureau of Investigation, then a young department out of the United States Department of Treasury,
mm-hmm.
that later evolved to become the Federal Bureau of Investigation. And mm-hmm. that man's name was J. Edgar Hoover.
Hoover.
As early as 1919,
mm-hmm.
Hoover was recorded in a letter as saying that you know, it was the time of the Red Terror. They were afraid of the Bolshevik Revolution and the effect of communism would be having in the world. And so they were also aware of what they called certain Negro agitators. Mm-hmm. Chief amongst them, a man they gave the code name of the Black Tiger. This was Marcus Garvey, right? Mm-hmm. Hoover in 1919 wrote a letter to the U.S. authorities and government leaders talking about Garvey and saying, speaking about the impact that he was having in Harlem and around the world. Mm-hmm. And is quoted as saying, "We have not yet found a reason to arrest, to incarcerate, or to deport him," mm-hmm. but basically insinuating that they would work with coming up with a reason to get rid of him. This is 1919.
Mm-hmm.
This is
mm-hmm.
3 years after Garvey arrived in America.
Mm-hmm.
So later when he was charged fraudulently, right?
Mm-hmm.
And trumped up charges mm-hmm. for mail fraud,
mm-hmm.
we already knew that Hoover was looking for some reason to get rid of Garvey. So when I speak about they, I speak about the powers that be at the time.
Indeed.
But the problem is, as is today sometimes, as black people within our own communities, we are sometimes so influenced by the mainstream media and the propaganda they put out mm. that some of us begin to believe the things they say about our own heroes and our own freedom fighters and become a part of the fight against them. So Garvey was faced with this. And, you know, they tried to coin it as there was dissension in the UNIA between the West Indian Negroes and the American Negroes. But that was not the case. What there were infiltrators in the UNIA, such as a man known as James Wormley Jones, mm-hmm. I believe. Yes?
Mm-hmm.
I might be getting the name wrong, but Wormley is in there and Jones is in there. I'm not sure about James. But if you Google that, you will find out that this was the first black American recruited to the Bureau of Investigation.
Mm-hmm.
So, in fact, he became the first black FBI agent in the United States of America. And he was recruited solely for the purpose of infiltrating Garvey's movement.
Wow.
Right?
Wow.
In fact, the FBI program of COINTELPRO that they deployed against the Black Panthers in the 60s and 70s, which was a means of disseminating misinformation and causing strife between members of the organization by sending out false reports or false letters signed by people that didn't actually write them.
Mm.
That program that J. Edgar Hoover used in the 70s against them, he actually perfected in the 20s against Marcus Garvey, and a lot of people don't know that connection.
Mm.
That system of hiring black people to infiltrate, to bring back information, to go back in the organization and to spread misinformation amongst the members. It began with the Garvey movement. So when I speak about they are the powers that be that felt threatened by Garvey's effect on the black community and who were dedicated to upholding the principles of white supremacy.
Mm-hmm.
To the detriment of our own people.
Indeed. And when we look at white supremacy today and we see how it's still, you know, Jim Crow 2.0 is wreaking havoc still here in these United States and around the world. Let me go to my Westmoreland friend, Anthony Turner. You're in the back of the class. Professor Golden is on.
Yeah, my hand is up. Yes, Stephen, how are you doing, sir? Good morning.
Good afternoon, man from West.
Yeah
man. The one on Orange Hill. Anyway, the Right Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey, is rightly correct, thus was of course celebrated and honored as Jamaica's first national hero. Given the important role that Garvey has played in not just shaping popular culture in Jamaica but the world, what more you think need to be done in Jamaica to spread the teachings and the messages and the philosophy of Garvey, especially to our young kids who some of them seem to be going astray?
I'm glad you asked that, Anthony, because for this month I've been having some serious engagements with the National Education Inspectorate, with the Jamaica History Teachers Association, with the National Parenting Support Commission. And the message I've been carrying to them is that, listen, we've been talking a long time about teaching Garveyism in schools, and we have made some headway in that. It's been included in the civics program. But I wanted them to fully understand that when we talk about Garveyism, we're not talking about the biography or the history of Marcus Garvey. We're referring to a Pan-African philosophy that needs to be infused not only in the curriculum across the different subject matters, but into the teaching techniques of the teachers themselves. So we want to begin in the teacher training colleges, and we have done so at places like Hydel, at places like the Michael, and I'm working assiduously under other teaching training colleges to have mandatory Garveyism courses, right? Now, Garveyism, stretching across different subject matters, people might ask me, what do I mean by that? And I'll give you some quick examples. For example, if we're teaching geography or history, right? A lot of times in Jamaica, we teach people about Christopher Columbus. In fact, we even have a statue of him, unfortunately, standing right outside of Marcus Garvey Technical High School in St. Anne's.
That is sad. That is sad.
That's sad, right? But they teach that Christopher Columbus came here in 1492 or 1494 or whatever. But we don't teach our children in school that the Emperor of Mali, Mansa Abu Bakr II, the man who preceded Mansa Musa I, who is still considered the richest man to have ever lived on earth, abdicated the throne and gave the throne to his vizier, his prime minister at the time, who became Mansa Musa I. But where did Abu Bakr go, and why did he abdicate the throne? He stepped down from the throne to take 200 ships across the Atlantic. This was in the late 1200s. This is 200 years before Christopher Columbus. When we teach back children their history, we must teach them that too. Right? When we teach them mathematics, we teach them about Pythagoras. Right? Pythagoras was a Greek. The Greeks learned everything from the Egyptians and the Ethiopians. If we're going to teach them about Pythagoras, we must also teach them about Imhotep, who built the first step pyramid, because you cannot build a pyramid if you did not know Pythagoras' theorem. The only problem is Imhotep built it before Pythagoras was born. If we're going to teach them English, stop teaching them nursery rhymes about London bridges falling down. Stop teaching them about Mary, Mary, quite contrary, and Jack be nimble, Jack be quick. I teach them Kodjo was nimble, Kwao was quick, but a nanny bent over the old fire stick.
Indeed. Indeed.
So you understand, when I say Garveyism, we're talking about Afro-centralizing our curriculum so that our children don't grow up with a subconscious inclination towards towards white supremacy, believing that they come from a race who are descendants from slaves. We are not descendants from slaves. We are descendants from Africans who were enslaved, and in fact, almost every people on the earth were enslaved at some point. The British were enslaved by the Romans, but you will never go into a British classroom and the child will come out and say, my ancestors were slaves.
You know,
that's not what they highlight.
True. You know, Professor,
we got to teach our children that their ancestors created arts and sciences. In Jamaica, when you say Timbuktu, it is a reference to the fact that you're lost, that you're gone a bush somewhere and nobody can find you. You must have gone a Timbuktu. That's wrong.
Indeed.
Timbuktu is where Africans built the first university city in the world, and people came from all over to study at schools like Sankore.
Indeed.
Black children have to understand what Garvey called Negro history, and he demanded that it be taught to them by black people who understood the truth of their history. Sorry to interrupt you there, Rasquem. Go ahead.
Well said, Professor. You know, recently I told somebody that no slaves came to America, and they look at mystery and just said, no, we weren't slaves. They enslaved us, and then they brought us here.
You're absolutely right.
So I want...
Because when we internalize the concept that way, and it rolls off our tongue so easily that our ancestors were slaves, there's a psychological damage that it is doing.
Indeed.
And we pass it on to successive generation.
Tell them, Professor. We're going to take a musical break for 2 minutes. Take a break, Professor, when we come back, because I want to stay on they, because I'm wondering why they, my brothers and sisters in the media world, in this Black History Month, in this African History Month, why are you guys afraid of talking the right excellent Marcus Josiah Garvey? Huh? Why? I'm going into Augustown, Jamaica.
Why you call?
And my words should concern you.
My words may concern you.
Oh,
my spirit may be bold.
Maybe your life would be better.
Maybe your life would be better.
With a Rasta at the control.
With a Rasta at the control.
But sorry about the land.
You sympathetic to our cause.
That's what you said, you know.
Now you're changing your legislation, all your laws. You say you'll give us back our freedom. While we're burning down the kingdom, you say you won't stand to fight us no more. But sorry, Babylon, I'm still gonna break you down. Your system's flawed, your people are fraud.
When we come back after the 11 o'clock hour, we are going back into the classroom of Professor Stephen Golden. It is Groovin' Radio. We're talking Garvey.
It's powerful, it's informative, it's educational with lots of thought-provoking conversations. Yes, it's Groovin' Radio, Saturday morning 9 to 11:30 and Sunday evening 6 to 8, right here on 93.5 WVIP, hosted by Ross Klemm. Join the Groovin' Radio experience and stay one step ahead.
Eef, and this is the original Chronics representing, and I say, you're listening to Groovin' Radio with the original Ross Klemm on 93.5 WVIP FM. Keep it grooving, and we will keep it moving all the time, every time. Ease out.
And thank you so much, Chronix, for bringing us up at this 11 o'clock hour. Yes, our final 26 minutes of the Groovin' Radio Experience presentation. It is African History Month. You may call it Black History Month. In Jamaica, they call it Reggae Month. But we are staying focused and we are keeping our eyes on the prize. We are talking Black History this Saturday morning. Jamaica's first national hero is right excellent, the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey. Ladies and gentlemen, our special guest is Professor Stephen Golden. Welcome back, Professor Golden.
Thanks for having me, Ross Klemm. I don't know if I had said a proper good morning to
I think I think you did. Anthony Turner, welcome back.
Yes.
The man from Westmoreland. I have to read this message first before we go on, Professor Golden. And this message, I think, is for all of us here in this presentation. It says, amazing history lesson. Wow. Thank you, guys. My daughter, as an educator, is blown away. Thanks again. So, Stephen Golden, as you are an educator, Professor Golden, so we continue to educate even the educators, Professor Golden, because, you know, it is something that... indeed, it is something.
I teach teachers.
Yes, indeed. Thank you so much for that, Professor Golden. Now, before we took the break, I mentioned that when I come back, I want to talk about they. And when I want to talk about they now, Professor Golden and Anthony Turner, is the media world. Yes, when the professor started, he said in Jamaica, they're looking at this month as Reggae Month, and rightfully so. Reggae is Black people music. But why didn't we just collaborate it and say Black History / Reggae Month and teach some Black history in these moments? Why are we afraid, Professor Golden, as folks on radio, television, print media, why are we afraid to write Garvey, talk Garvey, and present Garvey? Why so?
You know, they, and I must give credit, we do recognize there are many people who recognize Black History Month and Reggae Month simultaneously in Jamaica. But I think there is another side who for a long time have sort of, you know, looked at Black History Month as an African-American thing and not a Jamaican thing, which is the reason why I want people to understand the connection between Carter G. Woodson and Marcus Garvey. Because, you know, Garvey's influence was so worldwide. It sparked so many movements and so many ideologies and so many things like the celebration of Black history. That as Jamaicans, we have to claim that too. We can't say this man was our first national hero and we're just doing lip service on it. He was our national hero because of what he stood for, what he advocated for, mm-hmm. what he fought for, what he was, you know, willing to give his life for. That is the order of national hero.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're going to recognize them in that light, then it behooves us
mm-hmm.
to invest in continuing their institutions, to propagating their teaching,
mm-hmm.
and to integrating their philosophy into our culture in a wholesome, uplifting, and positive way.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what was the idea behind making February Reggae Month. Well, they said Dennis Brown's birthday and Bob Marley's birthday was mm-hmm. in this month. But, you know, we have Heritage Month in October.
Mm-hmm.
We really should have made Reggae Month in July because that's when the biggest reggae shows and all the reggae artists make the bulk of their money.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, reggae music wouldn't be reggae music without the influence of Marcus Garvey.
Indeed.
So in that light, I see the connection.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people like Bird and Spear, you know, Bob, Peter, and Bunny did not consider themselves singers, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They call themselves wailers.
Mm-hmm.
And for those of you who read the Bible, you know about the weeping and wailing and the gnashing of teeth. Wailing is a cry from the depth of your soul. It is the voice of your ancestors coming out. And this is what shaped reggae music. Before
mm-hmm.
that, you know, artists were singing covers of different jazz standards
true.
And so forth. And
true.
Giving their own Jamaican twist.
Mm-hmm.
But reggae and mm-hmm. the infusion and the influence of not only Garvey, but of people like Leonard Howell and the Rastafari movement
mm-hmm.
transformed it into a music with a mission,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's part of the reason why the King of Reggae, as we refer to him, became of iconic status alongside of Garvey
mm-hmm.
for carrying Garvey's message. I don't know how many people realize that Redemption Song
mm-hmm.
is built up on lines from a speech Marcus Garvey made in Nova Scotia,
indeed.
Canada, when he said, we are going to emancipate ourselves from mental slavery.
Indeed.
But whilst others have freed our bodies, none but ourselves can free our mind.
Indeed.
Garvey put that to, Marley put that to music.
Mm-hmm.
Garvey also wrote a poem while he was incarcerated in the Atlanta Federal Penitentiary in 1927.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote a poem called Man to Man, and it began, Man to Man is so unjust until we know not whom to trust.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Bob later came with a song saying, Man to Man is so unjust. Children, you remember it?
You don't know who to trust. Yes, indeed.
Exactly.
Indeed.
So people have to understand the connection.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we love reggae, but mm. we want reggae to be what it was meant to be.
Indeed.
Music with a mission and a purpose
mm.
of carrying on Garvey's legacy and fulfilling Garvey's aspirations of Africa for the Africans at home and abroad.
Mm. So, ladies and gentlemen, when you come here to the Grooving Radio Experience, I always say that you're building knowledge here. And it's cholesterol free. The real revolution is the evolution of the mind. And as we celebrate and mark this Black History Month, this African History Month, folks, let's not forget those like His Right Excellence, Marcus Mosiah Garvey, who has paved the way for us to be here. As a journalist, a man who, way before his time, just think about this, Professor Golden. Garvey had no Facebook, no Instagram. Garvey had none of those fancy things to market.
No social media.
No social media.
No social media. But yet, Jomo Kenyatta in Kenya used to be a runner for his newspaper. Mm. Would read it in one village, so them could only get one copy through the British blockade against Garvey. Mm. And so one would get to, and he would read it in one village, and then run it over to the next village so they could read it. He said that, the first president of Kenya, right? Kwame Nkrumah, who studied at Lincoln University in Pennsylvania. When he came to America, he said the biggest thing that hit him was when he read Garvey's book, The Philosophy and Opinions of Marcus Garvey, right? Mm-hmm. So, and he became such a giant in Pan-Africanism too, but he never forgot Garvey. And when Ghana became independent, he put the Black Star line, he put the Black Star on the Ghanaian flag as a reminder of this great teacher that influenced his life.
Indeed. Anthony, I know you're yearning.
Yes, Stephen. One of Garvey's goals, and correct me if I'm wrong, I'm told, was to create a separate economy and a society run for and by African Americans. Is this still relevant and even achievable in 2023 and beyond, Professor Golin?
Well, Anthony, didn't the Chinese do it? Haven't the Chinese done it? Right? Don't we have Chinatowns all over the world that make sure they buy goods from China, that promote Chinese culture, that earn money that goes back to building up China so much so that they're now a superpower and own even the debt of the United States?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Remember, you know, Garvey's influence reached even Ho Chi Minh in Vietnam. Don't think it never reached Mao Zedong. Right? So when people ask, is it possible? Well, what Garvey says, what man has done, man can do. The problem is we should have done it long before them, because we had the advantage of such a great leader who conceptualized it before they did. Right? They learned from us and achieved more than we were able to, because of the disunity, the distrust, the mistrust that exists in our community, which is a product of the internalization of white supremacy. Right? I remember when I was young, you know, in Jamaica. Well, I think I'm still young. But when I was younger, a man would have dissed you, as we say in Jamaica, if your thing come from China, you know. To say you were getting a product from China, it was like, you know, it was less than. But the Chinese didn't give up. They kept reverse engineering everything that they could from other people until they could do it themselves. And now, today, there's hardly anything you could buy and find out that it don't come from China. Right? It's a complete evolution of the whole thing. So I think Garvey was advocating for black people. Yes, it was hard for him at the time, launching his ships, trying to engage with Liberia to get manufacturing going, trying to get into the rubber industry, and he was snaked out by the U.S. government and the Firestone company. Yes, black people stop buying Bridgestone tires. That's anti-God. But everything will be difficult at first. It was difficult for China at first, but they persevered and they prevailed. Part of our problem as a people sometimes is that we want to start at the top,
indeed,
as Garvey says.
Indeed.
And we're not willing to climb the different rungs of the ladder and to hold on to the ladder even when we slip a couple times.
Indeed.
And pull ourselves back up.
Indeed.
Right?
Indeed.
We are too easily corrupt, but the fact is nowadays, black people are a large block of the consumer market. Our dollars consume a lot of things around the world.
True.
If only we had a Garveyistic mentality now to say that we are going to use that consumer power and turn that power towards helping Africa and building up Africa. Do people know what's going on in the Congo right now?
True.
So that we can have cell phones that I can be talking to you on the radio while I'm sitting here in Kingston waiting on my son to finish football training. This phone wouldn't exist without certain rare elements
from the
that
Congo.
They are killing Africans in the Congo to have right now.
Indeed.
Right?
Indeed.
Maybe if we said we're not buying these things until you dress up the situation in Congo and they realize how much money we spend on these things, and that if we're not buying, the business is going to go out of business. They would be forced to answer us.
Indeed. Professor, I'm going to beg you 2.5 minutes. This is your time, you know, this is your classroom, but as a student, I'm going to interrupt for a moment, but I'm going to stay on course. The impact of Garvey.
Marcus Garvey had a tremendous impact on the world. African-American politician Adam Clayton Powell said, Marcus Garvey was one of the greatest mass leaders of all time. Nnamdi Azikiwe, former president of Nigeria, said, Garvey was one of the most far-sighted persons of African descent to walk upon God's earth. Martin Luther King Jr. said, in the history of the U.S., Garvey was the first man on a mass scale to give millions of Negroes a sense of dignity and destiny and make the Negro feel that he was somebody. Kwame Nkrumah, former president of Ghana, said, the book that did more than any other to fire my enthusiasm was Philosophy and Opinions of Marcus Garvey. Jomo Kenyatta, former president of Kenya, said, in 1921, Kenyan nationalists, unable to read, would gather around a reader of Garvey's newspaper and listen to an article 2 or 3 times, then run various ways through the forest to repeat carefully what they had memorized to Africans, hungry for some doctrine which lifted them from the servile consciousness in which Africa lived. Malcolm X said, it was Marcus Garvey's philosophy of Pan-Africanism that initiated the entire freedom movement, which brought about the independence of African nations. All the freedom movements in America were initiated by the work and teachings of Marcus Garvey.
Indeed.
C.L.R. James said, he started us off. For me, Garvey was the beginning, the first man to make black people feel aware of themselves as an international force. The Jamaican-born poet Claude McKay said, Marcus Garvey's influence over Afro-America, Native Africans, and people of African descent everywhere was vast. But despite all his efforts, Garvey couldn't make the breakthrough in Jamaica. He went to England in 1935 and died there in 1940. His body was brought back to Jamaica in 1964 and reburied at National Heroes Park, where he was made a national hero. The mission of Marcus Garvey was presented by the Friends of Liberty Hall and the Ministry of Education and Culture.
The global impact of His Right Excellence, the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey. And as we close out with that speech, that piece there, Professor Golden, sum it up in 3 minutes for us so our listeners and our students can understand the importance, the impact, and the influence of Garvey. Go ahead, sir.
Garveyism is our greatest hope for correcting the historical injustices that have been done to us as a people globally. It is a part of our own internal reparation, mind, body, and soul. The social ills we face in our communities can be re-engineered through imbibing Garveyism as a philosophy to live by, to be our brothers and sisters' keepers. Right? To understand that the Pan-African philosophy says because we have a shared past, the only way we can advance successfully into the future is together as Africans around the world globally. Let no religious scruples, no political machination divide us as a people, but let us hold together under every clime and in every circumstances, and to make ourselves the great people we were and shall be once again. Africans at home and abroad. One God, one aim, one destiny.
Wow. Well said, Professor. Well said. And I must thank you always. Always lending your time to our listening audience here on subject matters like these. And for those who said that we should turn the corner, play some music. It's not going to happen. We're going to stay focused, Anthony Turner. We're going to stay focused, Professor Stephen Golden. And for those who we can save, we're going to save them. We're going to save them. So we will continue to do what we do here on Grooving Radio, especially in these specially created segment like Mic Check. Professor Stephen Golden, thank you again, my brother.
It's been my pleasure, Ras Flynn. Keep up the good work, both you and Anthony.
One love. Thank you very much, Professor Stephen Golden. Anthony Turner, we're at that moment, huh?
Yeah, man, boy, it was an important lesson, not just in history, but even in music, and making the connection with some of Marley music and the inspiration he drew from Garvey.
Thank you so much. Anthony, I cannot talk about the next thing without getting emotional. And I'm sorry. But the loss of Simone Edwards OD has really shaken me to the core. I spoke to Simone last month. And one of the last things she said to me was how tired she was. How tired she was. I was one of the first persons that Simone shared that she had ovarian cancer with. And we journeyed together, talk about it every month, through her struggles. She continued to help those children down in Augustown through her foundation. And to the end, she never gave up. She fought a very good fight. So I'm just saying this morning, sleep well, my sister. Sleep well. I'm going to miss you. Sleep well. Until next week, Anthony.
Yeah, man. Until next week. I see Simone every day of my life since I met her. There's something that she signed, a poster that is in my office that I'm looking on it right as I speak.
And just remember, in 2011, when we did Caribbean Lifestyle TV, we honored her at Caribbean Lifestyle TV. I saw Erwin post something this week about we were way ahead of our time. And yes, Erwin, we were. Andrea brought the thing home this morning. Thank you, Anthony. Until next week.
You take care.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have come to the end of another productive Grooving Radio's presentation. On the waiting on the other side of the 11:30 hour, it is going to be the Wake Up Radio team. Charity events happening tonight. The LJDR Davis Foundation is having their grand event tonight, celebrating 10 years. The American Friends of Jamaica, save the date, March the 11th. They're having their grand event in Florida. The Meadowbrook High School Alumni Association, they're getting ready for their 28th anniversary dinner dance. For more information, please call Nadine at 847-372-9853. Waiting on the other side of the 11:30 hour, it is going to be the Wake Up Radio team. Irie Jam team comes in at 1 p.m. At 6 p.m., it is going to be the Link Up Radio team. And at 8 p.m., Soundchat Radio will take over the airwaves of 93.5 FM. My name is Ras Clem, and this is Grooving Radio. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, we thank you all for tuning in to Grooving Radio. Thank you all for making Grooving Radio what it is today. So we say peace, love, and blessings. And as we leave you this morning, we just want to remind you that as we celebrate African History Month, as we celebrate Black History Month, be mindful the importance of this month, the importance of those who have laid the foundation for us to be here. Folks like the Right Excellence Marcus Mosiah Garvey, who we spoke about this morning with Professor Stephen Golden. Be mindful, folks. Let's not forget where we're coming from. Because if we forget where we're coming from, how are we going to know where we are going, ladies and gentlemen? So be very, very careful and be very, very mindful.